Hey, everybody. Let me tell you guys that I am so excited. I am so happy. I am really so thrilled to be right now sharing this amazing, glorious, super exciting moment of
life. This is our new intro music.
What tune is that?
It's
Paladins.
Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. No, it's not. So yeah, should we call this podcast the oil podcast, or the cheap oil podcast, or the free oil podcast?
The give me your money oil podcast.
Give me your money.
Please take it away.
Please, sir. Do you have some change in oil? Yeah. So today we experienced something that we experienced for the first time in the history of WTI. Crude oil price index, or the West Texas index, which is the American kind of oil company index, and for the first time in history, I think it was established in 86 as the index, it hit, or the 83, sorry, it hit negative prices. I think the lowest before was $10, and this is basically a result of many events going back 2-3 months before the corona. Actually, started with coronavirus is everything in our lives currently, and ending here. So basically, what we have on our hands is the coronavirus that starts in China, right?
And
we make our episode with Mr. Archil Achishvili, and we are making some jokes about the coronavirus. But at that time, the Saudi Arabian prince is looking at the coronavirus and thinking, oh, goddamn, nobody will need oil in China because they're all on lockdown. That's not good.
So step one came to bear and they started curbing the production to avoid price dumping, to avoid decreasing prices.
They wanted to start curbing the production.
They wanted to start.
Yeah. So
but they did not make an agreement. They did not reach an agreement with the Russians. And the problem was that when everybody's under lockdown, people just need less oil. So we have a simple supply and demand problem. The supply keeps at
so now you're
explaining
the problem, the demand problem happening in China.
At stage one, yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
We have the constant supply, but at the same time the demand is going down. So the prices will also go down.
Normally,
nobody
yeah.
wants here.
Yeah, exactly. And and we will explain this in our try number two with the rolls of paper, toilet paper. Basically, now you'll be willing to pay much more for a roll of toilet paper because there is no supply. But there is so much demand because people, for some reason, want to wipe their rear end if the world is coming to an end. I don't really realize why roll toilet paper.
Maybe it's a post-war thing. I also don't understand because it's not rational to me to buy toilet paper when...
I understand like the hand
sick.
Sanitizer, right? But like...
Yeah.
It sounds like we're getting diarrhea. It's not Ebola or something.
Yeah. It's maybe a thing that's... Maybe it's some need to store stuff, to have a stockpile to feel safe, and what is the stockpile that doesn't
yeah,
not
it's
go
big,
bad?
Cheap, there's a lot of it, you can use it for everything.
It is not perishable, that's by toilet paper.
It's really
also
weird.
Bought
anyway,
sugar.
So the reason why we use toilet paper is because exactly opposite of what's happening to oil currently is happening to toilet paper, right? There is probably the supply chain for years and years, and I don't know, decades of toilet paper supply chains were made for probably one household buying up to 10 rolls for next 2 weeks because, well, our metabolisms are just so fast. And at some point, people now started buying 60 rolls of toilet paper, and there is no toilet paper, and there is still a lot of people who need the toilet paper, but because a lot of people who are a little bit weird bought 70 rolls of toilet paper, there's no toilet paper, and people would be inclined to pay more for a single roll of toilet paper because the supply is still there at the same level, but the demand is way higher because people are buying more.
Yeah.
So that's happening to toilet paper, but that's less important. The more less important for this conversation, but for the real life, maybe no. But what's happening to oil is just the other contrary to this is that you have tons of oil, but nobody is driving cars, nobody's on airplanes, no, but there is some restrictions with exports, imports.
Yeah.
There is less transit in general, there is
the
on highways, yeah.
Yeah.
The industry doesn't need it because they're laying off workers, the less work is getting done, so nobody's buying oil. And it looks like the Saudi prince, 2-3 months ago, when this was happening in China, realized that if this happens everywhere, we might be hit very hard. So it's probably better to curb our production. And he probably called Mr. Putin, and he told him, Masallah, Mr. Putin, can we lower the prices and curb the production? And Putin probably told him, no, Mr. Prince, we cannot do this because we want to make money in Russia. And they, I don't know, maybe Russians underestimated the situation, maybe not. But Saudis reacted very, very harshly because they know that their break-even cost of just producing oil for their biggest state company is lower than the Russians. They said, okay, let's see who you're playing with. We're going to continue. We're going to produce now 2 times more oil than we did before, then increasing the supply and absolutely lowering the price 2 months ago.
Yeah.
In order to probably hurt the Russians, because now you need $40 to get to be break even as if you're Russian.
Yeah.
So to basically, by pushing lower the prices, short term hurting the Russians, so the Russians can say, oh yeah, okay, we default, we will also stop producing oil, so we can all bear the.
And then you have a third party that also is getting into trouble. That's the US, because mainly the US fracking industry got hit hard, since they have a break-even price of around $54, let's say $48 to $54.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're below this threshold, American fracking companies do not make money anymore, and they will go bankrupt.
And the great thing is the American fracking companies are over leveraged, so they have tons of debt, which they have to finance. I mean, they have to pay this debt interest and stuff every all the time. And their margin for error is probably super low, you know?
Yeah.
That's why.
So this margin is non-existent as
yeah.
of now. So the third party, which was not intended to be the opponent, is now dying, I would say. So I think the American fracking industry is in very deep trouble.
Yeah, it's in crazy. But like, one question that people might ask is like, oh yeah, all this happened, the pandemic spread across the world, right? And everything went on the lockdown, and probably nobody could have predicted, even the Saudi prince who was asking for curbs, he was probably not thinking that the whole world will become Wuhan in 2 months. So basically, we've seen the biggest hit the demand for oil has had in, I think, the history.
Yeah.
Probably
so
the history of the
unseen,
world.
Unseen, unprecedented price dumping.
Because what we explained at the beginning of Chinese not traveling at the time, everybody being locked down, this happens to all of us now.
Yeah.
Everybody canceled their trips. We're just basically going to the supermarkets. Nobody's driving there. I mean, why would you? You can drive your car, but
the problem is the production was basically not curbed enough because the demand decreased far, far, far more.
And they also say that the analysts are saying that at the same time, even if you curb the production to a great extent, you can't do much because the fall in demand is so big that there is nothing you can do,
yeah.
basically. And one thing that we should mention is that they agreed to curb in the end. Mr. President Trump made the call, a very, very great call, the best call he has ever had.
Tremendous,
and it was just amazing call, the cleanest call of all time. And he probably, in order to save some jobs in Texas and stuff, he was pushing for some negotiations, and actually the oil producing countries, I think even Mexico included, were agreed to cut oil productions, cut oil production, but on May 1st.
Yeah, so that's too late. We are, as of today, on April 20th.
We are current oil, WTI oil prices at minus 13. The Brent is at 23, I think.
Yeah, because the WTI futures, so the
futures
price
yeah.
is negative. The futures are basically
yeah.
worthless.
Worthless in May, yeah. And probably, I think, I'm not an oil expert, and so don't take my opinion for this, because I probably think that if you're an American company, if somebody is buying oil from you, if you think that this, okay, let me agree to buy oil from you next month, right? And if you think that this company is going to go broke by that time, you're probably not going to buy from them, you know, like,
yeah. On top of that, all the oil systems, storage facilities are still full.
Exactly.
So people will eat through their reserves before starting to buy again. So this will, I would say, take
some time.
I don't know, some time. Let's just say
depends when the economy starts. Nobody knows. But yeah, so basically what's happening is that they're producing oil, but currently they're running out of space to store it all. So you have tankers on sea, basically planted as storage units with oil. You have huge facilities filled with barrels of oil. And the reason why you have negative prices is that they are basically paying you to buy their oil. So like, we'll give you $13 per barrel, just get this out of our hands, because we don't have any more space to storage this. And I mean, me and Bill are not oil experts, but this is our financial opinion, that it's from some stuff that we understand in terms of economics and supply demand and different prices needed for oil.
As of now, the hardest hit countries will be the ones initially fighting about the price: Russia and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has unlimited foreign exchange reserves. Yeah, U.S. as well. The whole fracking industry might go under completely. They might all fail bankrupt.
Yeah. And how many jobs? Okay, let me you continue.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up.
In the meantime, Russia also needs around 25 to 30 barrels for several years to sustain themselves. Their energy minister said they can't sustain any price, but this is more of a official statement to show resilience. Nothing else. But Russia will be hit hard. And they can internally pay their expenses in ruble, but externally they still need to buy it in dollars. So if their currency becomes less valuable, it will be exceedingly more expensive to also purchase other goods. Saudi Arabia has a bit of a larger liquidity, a bit of a larger cash buffer that works out well. Canada has a well-diversified economy. They will be able to buffer it. But who cannot sustain themselves is Nigeria. Nigeria is also an OPEC country, and they do not have the deep pockets Saudi Arabia has. So they will definitely not profit at all. They will be damaged harshly by the very low oil price. And then, of course, the US with the entire fracking industry.
Yeah.
How many people are there?
Can I tell you some great news? The oil and gas industry supports 9.8 million jobs, or 5.6% of total U.S. employment, according to PwC.
So I don't know, in the recent five weeks, if you have followed the unemployment numbers, the unemployment filings in the U.S., but we have added millions, at least 4 or 5 millions per week.
Yeah.
So we're now ascending at
22
million in the U.S., and we have not yet. So the fracking industry has not
They're
yet
They're about
died.
To go broke. So one thing that
yeah.
you're going to see probably now is that you're going to see a lot of bankruptcies, because these prices, I mean, if they can't sustain $50, they can't sustain minus 13, you know, like...
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of cleaning out of the weak from the herd, you know?
So there will be more fallout in terms of unemployment filings, and maybe we're hitting the 30 million, 35 million unemployment filings mark in the next 2-3-4 weeks. I don't know.
That's pretty scary for the US economy. And I mean, it looks very bad. It looks like the unemployment rate in the United States is comparably worse when you compare them to Europe and China, because United States so much, it's like a service economy. They're oriented too much to service industries. They are completely blocked now in terms of restaurants and all the bars and stuff. So many people are working in bars, so many people are working in restaurants.
Yeah.
All kinds of service industries. And you have oil industry that's like 5% of all of your jobs. I mean, these people are going to get laid off.
Yeah.
You're going to cut costs if you can survive this.
Yeah. So to go back to the 10,000 feet level, the in economic recession, a complete countrywide, nationwide economic recession for the US is now very likely. It's now just, it's coming. It's
yeah.
it's developing. It's looming.
Yeah. And this is basically, we're seeing the first victim. We're seeing the number one victim.
Yeah.
The victim that's not profitable, and we knew this from throughout 2019. There were reports of people already filing for bankruptcies because the oil prices weren't that high. So they're okay, already filing for bankruptcies. Then people were saying in 2016 we already seen some bankruptcies as well, and there is very leveraged. They have a lot of debt. They're financing all of their operations because they wanted. You need a lot of capital to bring these oil rigs and stuff. So you just borrow money quickly, and you can't pay it back. And the problem is another problem is this is going to hit the banks as well because who borrowed them this money? You know.
Yeah. Next to investors, banks.
Yeah, investors, banks. This is gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be terrible.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the first canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, and now the S&P 500 in general starts to slowly take hits, starts to drop a bit. So I think this
and
will accelerate.
I mean, yeah. Who knows? I only assume that the next the canary number two is the real estate. If people don't have money to pay their rents, and if WeWork goes out of business, and if all the bars don't have money to pay the rents,
in general,
if all the restaurants don't have money to pay the rents.
In general, people not investing here anymore, uncertainty, capital flight, which is not that big of a deal in industrialized and developed countries, but there will be a huge capital flight in emerging markets as well. So
One thing that might happen is that all the because of high risk, people might put their money in the United States because in general, throughout history, United States is low risk. But I personally don't think United States is low risk here. I think they're at very, very high risk because they're very serious oriented. But this podcast is about oil. Did we mention that they're probably going to start pumping oil now earlier than May 1st?
No, mention it again.
Basically, they agreed May 1st. So the Saudis and Russians and Americans and blah, 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 Mexicans agreed that in May 1st will be the first day when they start cutting their oil production. But many analysts were also saying it's a little bit too late that you guys agreed now. And we can see now that it's a little bit too late. And you might see crude production as tomorrow. You probably might see them tomorrow. Saudis come out and then don't. Because this might cause some terrible consequences. And this is only a preview of what's to come. Because this can only tell you how much our economic activity has slowed.
Yeah.
If the demand is
that low.
So let's see what happens when they curb it.
Let's see. Level one of the card house has collapsed. Let's see how the other parts of the card house are doing.
Yeah, and meanwhile, buy wine, alcohol, and happy 420 if you're celebrating. One thing that we can give an investor tip to all the listeners is that you can invest in weed companies because we are living right across a dispensary and every day there's a larger line negatively correlated with the performance of the stock market. So, you know, it's always...
If the blood is on the streets and the day is shit, everybody smokes some weed.
Yeah, smoke some weed and play some video games, you know. Luckily, we have... some digital ways to calm our pain.
Ease the pain,
I mean, if we're living in the 80s or 90s or anything that's not this digital age, imagine staying at home. Nothing.
You can play blackjack.
Nothing. You can play blackjack, you can't work from home. All the jobs would be gone. All the jobs.
Yeah.
We're very lucky that this happened now and not in 1990 or something. But anyways, thank you very much for listening. How many minutes did we do?
18 minutes.
And Merry 420.
Merry 420.
Hopefully
enjoy.
This helps. Hope you understand some stuff. Hopefully you listen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.